Okay. Well, it takes the opportunity to thank Ellie and Seth for continuing to encourage this series. And we begin tonight continuing the Wednesday night Machshava, but maybe shifting genre for a bit for the next 4 weeks to focus, instead of readings in Rambam, to focus on mitzvah meaning, or the meaning behind mitzvahs, and to look, hopefully, tonight and then every Wednesday night for the next 3 weeks, to choose one mitzvah, a mitzvah which is frequently practically relevant, a mitzvah that's a part of our a regular rhythm of Shmiras Halacha, and then to look not so much at the dinim per se, but to see, to spend some time trying to explore the meaningfulness of the mitzvah. What is the time of the krav? And hopefully to learn and to expand our understanding of the mitzvah, hopefully also to be able to bring that home in terms of absorbing and infusing that into the way we practice that mitzvah. Just by way of introduction to the whole concept, Gemara, end of Bava Metzia, is a machlokas, whether darshin in time of the krav or lo darshin in time of the krav. Gemara is a machlokas in Rav Shimon and other chachamim. To what extent does the rationale for the mitzvah, the time of the krav, to what extent does the rationale for the mitzvah affect the legislation and affect the application of the mitzvah? So Rav Shimon believes that it's a drasha. Rav Shimon believes that in a situation for a mitzvah for which we can figure out the reason behind the mitzvah, the rationale for the mitzvah, Rav Shimon says it's a drasha that actually regulates the application of the mitzvah, and when the reason doesn't apply, the din doesn't apply. And we paskin like the majority of the Tanaim, that lo darshin in time of the krav. The time of the krav is not a drasha. So the mitzvah, the halacha will apply even when the reason does not. However, the Rambam and many other Rishonim are of the opinion that it does not mean that time of the krav is not important. Time of the krav is very important. Time of the krav is an important part of Torah. And time of the krav in many ways is one of the ways, and perhaps the primary way, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu conveys to us the ideas and the philosophy of Yadus. Is you study a mitzvah, you keep a mitzvah, but then you take a step back after studying the details of the mitzvah to try to see the forest and to see what are the ideas and the ideals and the attitudes that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is conveying to us through that mitzvah. So let's begin right now. We were originally going to start this series last week, and for technical reasons we got pushed forward a week. So but we'll stick with the opening topic. So tonight we begin with the mitzvah of tefillin. And we begin the mitzvah of tefillin, I want to begin with two twos, and with the mystery of two twos. Tefillin, as we'll discover, is full of pairs. The most obvious pair of tefillin, of course, is the physical pair of tefillin, the shel yad and the shel rosh. And you take a look at the opening sources in Chumash, as we know, the Torah of four different places in Chumash ends a paragraph with a pasuk about attaching these ideas to one's hand, one's arm, and bein einecha. Here are two examples. In Vayeschanan, at the end of the parsha of Shema v'ahavta, u'kshartam la'os la'edecha v'yilu tatafos bein einecha. And then one of the less famous, less studied psukim, the end, the very end of last week's said, the very end of parsha's bo, v'yil la'os la'yadcha u'to tatafos bein einecha, again, to be an os on your yad, and to be a totefes bein einayim, above the area between the eyes. So once again, in the four different parshas, the Gemara understands that the significance of these four paragraphs ending in the tzivu of tefillin is to tell you that these are the parshas that are supposed to be put in tefillin. And the dvarim ha'elo, kshar tam, the reference to what it is that you're tying to Yad and to Rosh, these full, not these psukim, on the other hand, not all of Chumash, but these four paragraphs. Now the Rambam, as you see in the source number 3, the Rambam in his counting of Tariq Mitzvahs spends the Rambam's prelude to putting together the Mishnah Torah, putting together a compendium of all of Torah Shebaal Peh, was to first figure out what's the structure of Torah, what's the structure of the halachic system. Then the structure of Torah, the Rambam writes in several places, implicitly and explicitly, the core structure of Torah, the organizing principles, and the categories of thought of Torah, the Tariq Mitzvahs. And then he spent time putting together Sefer Mitzvahs, in which he developed what are the Tariq Mitzvahs, and then uses that as the skeleton around which he builds the entire Mishnah Torah. And then every single section will open with this area of halacha is revolves around elaborating on the following mitzvahs. So here we go. Hilchas Tefillin, Ram puts Tefillin, Mezuzah, and Sefer Torah together. That's because based on the Gemara and Bava Basra, Yudala Tezvav, the Rambam took the approach of never having a section that would be less than three prakim long. If it's less than three prakim long, so he would find something else to pair it with. Mezuzah is only two prakim, so he puts together Tefillin, Mezuzah, and Sefer Torah.
It's from the Rosh Hashanah?
I'm sorry?
Where'd he get it from?
He got it the Gemara Bava Basra, Daf Yudala, Daf Tezvav, the Sugya of Tanakh. The Gemara there says, the Gemara talks about the authorship and the canonization of Tanakh. The Gemara talks about who wrote what, and the Gemara says that Treyasar were compiled by the Ashkenazic Gedola. The Treyasar are Nevi'im that span a couple of centuries. And then the Gemara says Treyasar, they're not historically connected. Hoshea was very early, Chayetz Chaim Lacha very late. Very different people living in different places with different messages. The Gemara says, but they're all put together into a single, al pi halacha, they're a single sefer. Another al pi halacha, if you have just Amos, or Avadi, or Yonah, doesn't have Kedusha Sefer. Only has Kedusha Sefer when you have all 12 written together on cloth. So the Gemara says, why did Akshas Lagdol decide to do that? Because I did the Zutri Merkasi. They're so small, if you would have them a separate svar, whatever it means exactly, the Gemara says, they would get lost. Oh, it means get lost around the house, then it means they would ultimately fall, there was a concern, they would, over time, fall out of the canon. They'd get lost from Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara says, that's why the Ashes of Gedola decided to put them into a single Sefer al-Pi Halacha. So I've thought for a while that may have been what, the Rambam, it's very clear that he was, he looked for precedent in Chazal, not only for the content he was writing, but also in many cases for the style or the format. So I suspect that was probably his source. So he writes here, so that's why here, mezuzah is only two prakim. So Lamasi puts all of Stam, Tefillin, Mezuzah, Sefer Torah into a single section. The first four prakim, of those 10 prakim, are the halachas of Tefillin. So he begins, as he does almost every section in Rambam, by enumerating first what are the mitzvahs. Hilchas Tefillin, Mezuzah, Sefer Torah, here's source number three. Yesh Bechlal on Chamesh Mitzvah, Chamesh Mitzvah Saseh, five mitzvahs, sevizeh, upirtan, here's a list. And the first two are tefillin shel rosh and tefillin shel yad. Two separate mitzvahs. Rambam discusses this later in Hilchot Tefillin. He already discussed it earlier in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. But he understands that these two, even though there's a lot of overlap, but they are the two separate mitzvahs. Unlike, let's say, lulav, esrog, hadassim, and aravos, which are four very different items, but they constitute one mitzvah, the Rambam writes, because the lulav, hadassim, aravos, and esrog, they al pi halacha, Mishnah tells us in Menachos, you can't fulfill one without the other. If you're missing one min, there's no mitzvah whatsoever. Whereas shayad sharosh, ideally you put on both, and when you do put on both, there's a sequence of putting them on, take them off. But you only have access to one, or physically one's only able to put on one. So the Mishnah tells us in Menachos that you can't have one without the other. Neither one is critical to be able to say the other. Tefillin shayad is not ma'akev sharosh. Tefillin sharosh not ma'akev shayad. And therefore, that demonstrates for the Rambam that these are two distinct independent mitzvahs. Now, in our practice of tefillin and of putting on shel yad and shel rosh, so one of the things that to our mind probably makes us feel that they're two separate mitzvahs is the fact that we say two separate brachas.
Oh, the one which says mitzvahs.
I'm sorry. Right. Two separate brachas and two distinct formulations. You know, there isn't a lot to go around. You can use the mitzvah word tefillin either way. But some of Chazal figure at least we could, one is L'Haniach Tefillin, right? One is L'Mitzvah, so try to differentiate to an extent between the two mitzvahs. But that's rooted in a Gemara which yields to an interesting halachic discussion and a very important philosophical underpinning. Take a look at source number four. More of the sugyas of Tefillin are in Maseches Menachos than anywhere else. And in the center of the, in the midst of those sugyas, the Gemara runs as follows: Shalach Ruchia Breid Rav Huna Mishmeid Rav Yochanan. Ruchia, the son of Rav Huna, sends a sends a letter with a statement by Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan gave the following psak on the tefillah shel yad. You say, as you told us, Asher kishon zotzof etzivanu v'aniach tefillin. The tefillin shel rosh, you say al mitzvah tefillin. The Gemara says, well, depends. That was Rabbi Yochanan. He's from the first generation of Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael, one of the younger students of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Unlike Rav and Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan remained in Eretz Yisrael. So, but the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan is the one who told us about the two mitzvahs, the two brachos, excuse me. Abai v'Rava, the Amitra Abai, several generations later, Abai and Rava often disagree, but here they both agree that lo sach mevarach achas, sach mevarach shtayim. Well, the number of brachas isn't consistent. It depends whether you talk or not. If you spoke in between the shal yad and the shal rosh, then you have to say two brachas. If you didn't speak, then you only say one brach. Okay. And then finally, the Gemara ends with a line that we'll return to. Certainly with a Hasidic eye, this line is very pregnant with meaning. Tana sach ben tefila l'tefila, averi hi biyado, v'chozer aleh me'orchem l'chama. If a Jew, Rabbi Rava just told us that if one speaks between the tefillin shal yad and shalrosh, so you're adding to the number of brachas you have to say. So Gemara quotes the Braisa, Tanam already told us in the Braisa that if you speak in between, you do that was wrong. It's a chet. Either it's a chet because now you're saying a bracha that you didn't really need to say, or it's a chet, as Rashi says, if you needed to say the extra bracha and you left it out. V'chozer aleha me'orcham l'chama. It's even though it may strike us as being a minor aveira, it's significant enough that in an ideal Jewish army, where one of the reasons that a Jew is sent back from the front lines is because he's not careful enough with the shmiras hamitzvahs, isn't going to merit the divine assistance that Kadosh Baruch Hu could grant the Jewish army. So the Tanam tell us it's not just if a Jew violates his mechal shabbos for hester, he eats pork, or he cheats in business, or he's a rampant gossiper. It's even those certainly. Even if this Jew once he spoke to the Tefillin Shel Yad and Shalrosh, that's significant enough. He can't be on the front lines. Okay. So we'll return to that coda to the Gemara later. But the core again was Rabbi Yochanan tells us the two brachas. We know about those two brachas, and then Rabbi and Rava tell us, well, it depends. If you spoke in between, then you have to say a second bracha. If you didn't speak, you only say one bracha. So this sounds very familiar until you take a look at Tosas, which is source 5 in the Maram Makamas. Tosas over there, Menachas Avlam Valamal, Kosa Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosas. What do you mean, you one bracha, two brachas? How many brachas do we say?
Two.
Right, so what does the Gemara mean? The Gemara says you only say two if you spoke. Mm-hmm. We try not to speak between Shalyah and Jerosh, as the Gemara told us. Pretty severe violation. So we don't speak to Shalyah and Jerosh, yet we say two. So let's take a look at Tosas backwards. We'll start with the end because we follow Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is more familiar. So take a look. Rabbeinu Tam Pirish, lo sach mevarach achas, and the Gemara says, if you didn't speak, you only say one bracha, that means l'shel rosh. You only make one bracha on the shel rosh. Amit says tefillin, shizuhi brachasa. You already said the alaniach tefillin on the shel yad, and now comes time for the shel rosh, so they have a special bracha for the shel rosh. Al mitzvah tefillin, that's fine. But sach, if you spoke in between shayal shel rosh, mevarach shtayim says to Rabbeinu Tam l'shel rosh. The shel rosh itself requires two lehaniach ve'al mitzvahs. Okay. So that's why we know you open the siddur. It says make sure not to speak in between, and then you say the on shel rosh. We only say one if we didn't speak al mitzvah tefillin. If we had spoken, then we would have to say a second bracha. What does that mean? We have to repeat the Lanech Tefillin plus the Al Mitzvah Tefillin. So what that tells us, for Rabbeinu Tam, is that the Al Mitzvah Tefillin really covers both Tefillin. And that's why you're not supposed to speak. So that you won't cut the connection between the first Lanech Tefillin and both of the Hanachos. Because that first bracha is supposed to connect both Shayat and the Shalrosh. So you want to make sure not to be mafzik in between with any conversation. And then you say a second bracha just for the Shalrosh alone, that's Al Mitzvah Tefillin. So far, so good. Sounds, if one's an Ashkenazi, this sounds pretty familiar. Because Ashkenazim follow Rabbeinu Tam. But take a look at Rashi. Tosas begins by going, Pirish Bekuntres. Rashi says that Gemara wasn't talking about how many brachas you make on your Shal Rosh. The Gemara was talking about how many brachas you make at all. Because after all, Well, let's see what he says. Lo sach mevarach achas is if you didn't speak, you only make one bracha, bein shayad, bein shalrosh. Just one bracha, that's it. You say la neach tefillin, and you're covered. Sach mevarach shtayim, says Rashi, if you spoke, so then your la neach tefillin no longer covers the shalrosh, because you cut it off with an idle conversation. So then la neach will cover your shalyad, but now that you spoke, you got to make a new bracha on the shalrosh. So the al mitzvah tefillin b'shalrosh. So Rashi tells us something which for Ashkenazim is shocking, but for Sephardim is an everyday occurrence, which is you only make one bracha on tefillin normally. You say it, which is, come to think about it, the way mitzvahs and birkas and mitzvahs usually work. You don't say a separate bracha every time you, if I'm going to do b'dikas chametz on multiple rooms of my house, or on the house and on a couple of cars, and maybe I'm going to drive a couple minutes away if I have a local office, do b'dikas chametz over there. I don't make a separate bracha on each room or on each location. If I'm moving from one to the other without a hefsek, you know, say one bracha, and it covers all of them. If I'm gonna go into shecht multiple animals, multiple birds, and make the al shechita once, it covers all the reiterations of the mitzvah.
Aren't there two aspects with the shayyads really close to the heart, center of the
rabbi? Excellent. So that's what the Rav suggests. The Rav suggested you look at Rav Tam, you say, what's Rav Tam saying? Rav Tam is saying, Rashi is a little bit curious because you would have thought that if you speak, so you have to make the same bracha again. Right? You should have said laniach tefillin to cover all of them. So I was going to say al shechita, I was going to shecht a whole slew of birds and made my bracha al shechita, shechted several, and then I disappeared for an hour or two, and now I come back. So what do? Make another. Repeat the same language again, al shechita, and again, continue to shech. I'm going to put up mezuzahs. So I make one bracha on mezuzah, look, all mezuzah. I would have put up all 10 mezuzahs at once, but I got distracted. It's moving day. The movers called me over, and I got busy with something else. I come back a half hour later, having put up 3. I have 7 to go. So I make the same bracha again and put up the rest. See, here, it's odd that you don't just say l'haniach tefillin a second time. So that's something that the mefarshim deal with. According to Rashi, Chazal are masaking a new nusach habracha in case you have to repeat it. That's somewhat curious. But as you pointed out, Rabbeinu Tam is really, really hard to understand. Because for Rabbeinu Tam, what's actually happening is that you always say two brachas on the Shal Rosh. We were just talking to the Shalom Zachar last Friday night. And about the fact that the mila, you make multiple brachas, multiple birkas hamitzvah. The moel says ala mila, and then the father says the halachis of Rishon Ravinu, which is something that inspires an enormous amount of conversation among Rishonim. Why are we making two brachas on a mitzvah? But we do it here too. We paskin like Ashkenaz paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. That means that we say two brachas on the shalrosh. It just usually isn't obvious because you say l'haniach tefillin earlier, but that covers both Shalyad and Shalrosh, and then you make a second al mitzvah tefillin for the Shalrosh. It becomes more obvious if you spoke. If you made the l'niach tefillin, you put on the Shalyad, then you spoke, now you have to say both brachas on the Shalrosh. But really, for Rabbeinu Tam, here's the point. You're always saying two brachas on the Shalrosh. Just the l'haniach applied to the Shalrosh, and you're also making the al mitzvah tefillin Shalrosh. So that's really striking. That's really very puzzling. Why two brachas on one mitzvah? Bad enough for Rashi, but you have to repeat the bracha, Chazal or Masaka Nunu Sachar Bracha. So for Rabbeinu Tam, we understand why they were Masaka Nunu Sachar Bracha. Because the Laniach Tefillin covers both. Al Mitzvah's Tefillin is somehow about the Shalrosh in particular. But this just begs the question, why does Shalrosh require two brachas? Just like, why is Mila require two brachas? It's rare. But it's very rare to have two brachas. How do you mean? Right. That's true. That's a good point. We do have our practices that there. Our practice is that we have two different alternatives to what the bracha could be. However, that's sort of like Rashi's approach to tefillin. In other words, either you make this bracha, depending on what the context is, either if you're putting on a talis katan, you make al mitzvah tefillin, put on a talis gadol, you make a lesatif batitzis. Yes, al mitzvah tzitzis, lesatif batitzis. So that's like Rashi. If you're going to have to say a sub bracha shal rosh, so then we'll switch from laniach to al mitzvahs. But you don't make both brachas on your talis. Now you either make one or the other. Right? If it's small, so then you make al mitzvahs. If you put it on the talus, you don't make al mitzvahs. Instead, you say lesate. But here, Rav Tam says that we're really fundamentally, we always say two brachos on our shalrosh.
And only one on
shal yad. Shalyad doesn't need a second bracha, but the Sharosh, even though for Vantam, the Laniach applies to that too, and you also say, even in a case where Laniach is in force and is applying to your Shal Rosh as well, it requires a second Al Mitzvah's Tum. So that really begs to be understood. So the Rav suggested, Salvesic suggested in Shi'urim on Tefillin, that apparently there's another aspect to tefillin, and maybe which is given particular expression by the Sharosh. Along the lines, we were talking this Friday night about the Beis Yosef Kodesh Avodram, that the two brachas on Mila, one is on the Maisa Mila, to do the Mitzvah Mila, to remove the Arla. The other bracha, he says, it's not just about the Mila per se, but sort of the Mila, the larger picture of Mila is the beginning of the mitzvahs that the father will have in raising his child. Mila, possibly Pinyan Ben, teaching him Torah, teaching him to keep mitzvahs, teaching him to have good midos, teaching him to be an effective, responsible citizen, lamdo umnas, and so on and so forth. So it's the beginning of chinuch. So there are two perspectives, Mila per se, and then Mila is a part of a bigger picture. So the Rav suggested somewhat similarly, that the tefillin, one bracha is lehaniach tefillin, is more action oriented. Without getting to the sugya psachim dav zayin, but lehaniach tefillin is to do the action of putting on tefillin. Rav Tam understands, but there's a second aspect, which is the tefillin are transformative. Let's take a peek. Yeah.
I'm having a hard time understanding.
Sure.
One thing about Rashi and one thing about Rav Tam. How do you understand the first line of
right, and that will cover both.
When are you making this bracha?
Before you're putting your shalyad. According to Beitam, according to Rashi, excuse me, you take your you're ready to put on your tefillin. You put the shalyad on your arm. You say laniach tefillin. You put it on. If you haven't spoken, you silently put on your shalrosh. It one bracha okay. Done. And if you spoke after your shalyad, so then you have to make a new bracha the shalrosh. Once you make a new bracha, so for some reason, which requires a little understanding, chazal or masakim, sort of an alternative shadow, a nusach, that comes out only when you have to repeat. Why is a good question? But that's a minor question compared to Ben Tam, who says that shalrosh actually always requires two brachas. Now, so we, Ashkenaz primarily follow Ben Tam, as a nod to Rashi, we say, Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Onvad. In case we shouldn't have said the shalal mitzvah tefillin, say Baruch Shem. But the Maisa, we clearly pass like Rabbeinu Tam, otherwise we wouldn't say the Baruch in the first place.
According to Rabbeinu Tam.
Yeah.
So, Losach, you're going to say two on your Shal Rosh.
No. Losach, you make one on your Shal Rosh, and Sach, you make two on your Shal Rosh. If you didn't speak, so all you have
to... Losach, right. So, what does that mean? You didn't speak when?
In between the Shayat Sharosh.
What's the difference?
So that's exactly the point. What you see is, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Lahaniach Tefillin also applies to Shal Rosh. Laniach tefillin applies to covers both, like Rashi. But in addition, the shalrosh requires a second bracha of al mitzvahs tefillin.
Laniach tefillin, if what applies to the shal yad? I'm not doing
laniach tefillin.
There's no overla siyasa. Why am I not making bracha overla
siyasa? No. What you and I do is right on top. You come to shul, you take out your shal yad, you put your shal yad on your arm, you're about to tighten it, and you make a laniach tefillin.
What does that mean?
That if you made your laniach tefillin, you said laniach tefillin, you put on your shalyad. If at this point I haven't spoken, so my laniach tefillin is still in play, so I only need to recite one more bracha before I put on the shalrosh, and that is al mitzvahs tefillin. But if Rabbi Natan says you spoke, if you put on your, you said laniach tefillin, you put on your shalyad, but then the guy next to you starts schmoozing about the game and starts schmoozing about the sugget. For this purpose, it doesn't matter. You get into a conversation with something other than tefillin, and they say, I can't believe that. I didn't put my shalrosh yet. So he said, Kaval, what do I do? So for Rabbeinu Tam, and that's the Ashkenazi psak, you now say two brachas. Put your shalrosh on your head, it's in position, over la siyasan. Before you tighten it, you say, laniach tefillin, and you say, al mitzvahs tefillin, and then you tighten it. You say a series of brachas, which means, again, that it's always true that you're saying two brachas in Shalrosh. Just usually, if you didn't speak, the L'haniach Tefillin you said earlier covers both. And in addition, you're saying Al Mitzvah Tefillin to cover Shalrosh. If you spoke, so then you actually say both right before you put in the Shalrosh. But again, that's what I was saying before. For Rashi, fundamentally, the Shalyad only requires one bracha, and the Shosh also only requires one bracha. L'haniach Tefillin. Say L'haniach Tefillin, cover both. Like, you can put mezuzah, all the mezuzahs in your house, you make one like bowl mezuzah, you put up all the mezuzahs. You don't have to say a new bracha every time you do the mitzvah. If you're mafsik, so then you got to make a new bracha.
So for Benetana, how do you understand Shazohi Brachasa when he says that Lo Sach, you say just on the stone, the Shalro, Shazohi Brachasa?
I'm not sure if that's a sort of a philosophical statement or just a practical statement. This is a bracha that you need to say on the Shalrosh. He may also be saying fundamentally, this is a bracha that's unique to Shalrosh. L'aniach Tefillin applies generally to Tefillin as a whole. And but Al-Mitzvah Tefillin really applies to, it's something that's being added specifically for the Shalrosh alone. That's why he didn't say it earlier. And if what's it called? If you were mafsik, so then you need to recite both brachas right now in advance of putting the Shalrosh. So that's halacha l'masa for Ashkenaz Svarad and Fala Rashi, and Ashkenaz and Fala Tosa. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. That's what they open up. They say for if an Ashkenazi Jew was accidentally, Rachman Latzlam, it says a serious avera, was mafsik in between Shayat Shalrosh. So Ashkenazi Jew needs to say two brachas back to back, and then put on and then tighten the Shalrosh. And the Rabbi Antan tells you the Shimusha Rab, which is a sefer that dates back to probably to the era of the Gaonim, about Hilchas Tefillin, how to make Tefillin. So he Shimusha Rab already says like Rabbi Antan. So it's nice. It says Rei Shimusha Rab, but what does it mean? Mheichan Matzinu. So that's what I was saying before. So the Avodram, it's quoted by the Beis Yosef, is saying Hilchas Mila. The two brachas on Mila, one is on the Maisa Mitzvah, one is on sort of the bigger picture, what Mila is all about. So the Rav suggested that maybe what's going on here also, if you skip ahead for a moment to source number 10, this is the closing lines of the Rambam's Hilchas Tefillin. He talks about, after going through all the details of how to construct tefillin and how to put the tefillin on and when to take them off and how to take them off, after the details of the Maisa Mitzvah, he, as he does in several areas of halacha, he takes a step back to talk about sort of the larger significance. Kedushas tefillin, kedushas and gedolhi. The kedusha tefillin is immense. And he says, you know how you see the kedusha tefillin is immense? That it changes the person who's wearing them. Shekalzman shat tefillin b'roshosh shel adam ve'alzro o, when it's on your head as well as your arm, notice, on your head as well as your arm, the full package, hu anav yorei shemayim, you become more humble in your midos, you'll become more aware of Ribbono Shalom. And he says you'll become more focused on what's important. You're no longer drawn by silliness, by schok and sikha b'teila. Instead, mefana libo b'divrei emes v'atzek, wearing tefillin can transform a person into someone who's focused on what's really true, focused on what's right, focused on what's real. And that he goes on to say, a Jew really ought to try to wear, ideally wear them all day. Yitzarech adam l'hishtadel, language is interesting, to try, there's a Jew to try to have them on all day long. All day long. Why? Because it's transformative. So as the Rav suggested, that maybe that's the two brachas. Tefillin is a mitzvah like any other. But tefillin is more than just a maisa mitzvah. Tefillin is one of those mitzvahs that transforms a person who's wearing it. You become a different type of a person. So perhaps much as the Rush suggests in the first parak of Ksubas that Birkas Erisin, Birkas Shechita, maybe brachas not on the mitzvah, but on the Kedusha that connects to this idea, then maybe it's going on here also. That the two brachas, the mystery of the two brachas, may relate to the two levels of the mitzvah. The tefillin as a maisa mitzvah like any other, the tefillin as a transformative experience. So that's our third pair, the maisa mitzvah and the kiyam mitzvah. And then once we begin to look at the dinim and at the two brachas in this way, so that already opens the door to begin to go back to our first pair. Before the pair of brachas, we spoke about the pair of film, the pair for Rambam of mitzvahs. The two different mitzvahs, which itself is an interesting point, that forget about why do you have to say two brachas and this and that. Why the two tefillin? We don't have two different types of tzitzis. I mean, two parts of tzitzis. No, tzitzis over here, tzitzis over there. So the fact that the Rambam had to defend his assertion that even though they look very similar, but they're really two different mitzvahs, so that just begs the question philosophically. So what's the goal here? What's the Torah driving at? So I want to take a look in the time that remains. First, very briefly at Ramban and the tour. I got started a little bit late, so I apologize we're not going to be able to read everything inside. So feel free to hold on to Marmal Kamas afterwards. Ramban at the end of the Parsha, Ramban at the end of Bo, talks about the last section of Ramban. The last section of Ramban and Bo is very famous for the end. In the end, he talks about mitzvahs in general, and why we have so many mitzvahs to keep the memory of Yetzias Mitzrayim alive. That's the more famous part of the Ramban. But earlier in the Ramban, he begins more specifically, more locally, about talking about tefillin. And he uses language that's famous to us from the Sefer HaChinuch, which reinforces the idea that the Chinuch is probably intellectually related to the Ramban. Shoresh HaMitzvah Azosra Ramban, right? He refers to the Tam HaMitzvah, the meaningfulness of Mitzvah, as the root of the mitzvah, as the chinuch always does. What's the root of tefillin? We're going to put ksav yitzias mitzrayim al yad val rosh. We're going to put write these ideas by yitzias mitzrayim on our head, on our hearts. Keneg la'alev amoch, opposite the heart and opposite the brain. Mishkanos ha-machshava, the temples, the seats of thought. And he goes on to say that when you think about the parshas of tefillin, Here's pair number four. When you think about the parshas of Tefillin, so they really, there are two sets of parshas. They're the two parshas in Bo, back to back, Chadesh and Aliyah Kiviyacha. Then you have the two parshas in Chumash Devarim, Elazchanan and Ekev, Shema V'Hafta, and then V'Hayam Shema. Now, Rabban goes on to point out that the parshas in Shmos have one focus, and the parshas in Devarim, Kriya Shema, as we think about it, has a different focus. And it's clear in the psukim. Take a look at the back of source number two, the pasuk, one of the two psukim in Bo, about Hanachas Tefillin. There it says, you're going to have La'osa Yadcha Totafas Beinecha Ki Bechozek Yarot Tziyano Hashem Mitzrayim. The focus and the major content of those two paragraphs of Kadesh Ha'avikiv Yecha is Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the first two parashas are parashas of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So he says, La sos Yitzias Mitzrayim in the next paragraph, Totafos Beinenu. Supposed to make a Totefes av Yitzias Mitzrayim. But then he says, Shema Vayim Shamoa, the parashas of Chumash Dvarim, are to make the mitzos Totafos. As it goes on to say, Emuna and application of Emuna. See, at the end of this selection from Ramban, Mitzvah HaYichud, the mitzvah of belief in one God, and that's the parsha of Shema. The parsha of Vayim Shema, Zichron Kol HaMitzvos Va'onchan Uscharon V'Chol HaShorish Ba'amuna. But to get, so in a sense, Shema Vayim Shema is applied. Vayim Shema is applied Shema. Shema V'Yahavta is more abstract. The concepts of belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that it's possible to speak of a relationship and even an emotional relationship. Avas Hashem begins to talk a little about Talmud Torah. But it's really Vayim Shamo where we talk about applying those theoretical ideas of Shema V'Hafta to practice. That there are mitzvahs and there are averus and we need to stick to them. It's going to be difficult and there will be consequences. Positive consequences for Shemiras HaMitzvahs and negative consequences for a lack of Shemiras HaMitzvahs. So you sort of have the two sets of parshias are
Theory and practice.
Yeah. And then, and the truth is, theory and practice. But then the larger picture also. Shema v'Em Shemo is a theory of emuna, and then the application. As Chaznish writes in Emuna Bitachon, that what Bitachon is applied emuna. He writes, and one of the many ways, one of the four ways or six ways in which that plays out. Is that the more one deeply one believes, the more one will adhere to Ratzon Hashem, even in the face of temptation. The other half, the parshas of Bo, are also in a sense, are not theory but practice, but application on Kadosh Baruch Hu's side. It's not what we do because we believe, it's sort of the practical aspect of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done that indicates to us our belief. So that's pair number four, if you will, is the pair of parshios and the pair of ideas, the content of what the tefillin is driving forward. That's in terms of focusing what the parshios are. But then in terms of the other piece of the puzzle is not only what the parshios are, what the content of tefillin is, but where the context of tefillin, where they're being put, which part of us does the Kadosh Baruch Hu want us to where do we apply these? So Ramban had put head and heart together, sort of together, Mishkan HaMachshava. But the more famous formulation is in the Tur. The Tur appears in number 7. And the language of the Tur should be very familiar because it forms the basis for this. The Tur paskens. Yichavein b'hanachasan. The Tur paskens is in the opening Simen Chafei, first Simen of the Hilchot Tefillin. The Tur paskens that a Jew must have in mind when he puts on the tefillin, the ideas, the content of the tefillin. And this is, the Bach points out that there are three places, tzitzis, tefillin, and sukkah, where the Tur paskens, in a halachic context, that one needs to keep in mind not only that one is doing mitzvah Hashem, but what the content of the mitzvah is. As Bach suggests, the Tur held is in these three mitzvahs, where the content is actually critical to be mekayem the mitzvah. The kavanas tama mitzvah, and he goes on to talk about putting on the arm keneged halev and on the head keneged harosh, and he sets up the organizes these ideas of the theory of yichud Hashem and then the lamasa of the nisim that demonstrated and the fact that Kadosh Baruch continues to have shlita over this world in the Hini Muchen Mezumen that appears in the Siddur, which is meant as a key of this tour, to make sure to think through these ideas, there the language is indicative of, unlike the Ramban, that the Shalyan and Sharosh speak to two parts of us. The Shalyad speaks to our drives, and the Sharosh speaks to our talents. Because the Shalyad speaks to the heart, and the Sharosh speaks to the mind. We have just a couple moments left, and we have no moments left. So I will leave you with this. There's a fascinating Gemara in Maseches Brachos Davav that talks about Kadosh Baruch Hu. The greatest mystery is that Kadosh Baruch Hu wearing tefillin. And the Gemara talks about Kadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin speak, the psukim, so to speak, in Kadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin speak of the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael the same way our tefillin speak of the uniqueness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And so what we close with is that the Maharsha points out, he says, Al-Derech Pshat, without Kabbalah, the tefillin speak to connecting ourselves, literal dveikus, as close as you can get to literal dveikus, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but literal dveikus to the ideas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's meant to incredibly strengthen our connectedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Both in the fact that it's one of those times when v'alachta b'drachav, when we have a chance to model ourselves after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the mitzvah itself is exactly v'alachta b'drachav. The mitzvah itself is exactly strengthening the Tzelem Elokim, realizing the Tzelem Elokim through taking these ideas and bringing them home and bringing them to heart. There's much more to say. Thank you very much.